and there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Yes, oh, I wanna see Him, look upon His face. Saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary. Crimson flow, many arrows pierce my soul,
oh,
from
yes.
Without within. But my Lord leads me on through Him I will win.
Well, oh, I wanna see Him, look up on His face.
Ever to rejoice. What a time. What a time God has got prepared for you and I. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Did we have church here over the weekend? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it outstanding? Amen. Praise the Lord. Our understanding was so helped here over the weekend. I'm sure I speak for every one of you that the Lord is just so mindful to let us know what His thoughts are, what His plan is. He's got a plan, and His plan will not fail. He's got it all in control. Shake somebody's hand tonight. Tell them He's got it all in control. Play some more of it, guys. Let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. There's some names that's written here that I'll not be able to pronounce, so I'm going to do the best I can with it. I'll start off with something I can read. Sister Michelle Swafford sends this in for Micah Swafford, having a lot of back problems. He's in a lot of pain. Please pray that the pain will go away. Also, Penelope Luna, still recovering from kidney surgery, still needs prayers, but is doing a lot better than she was, so we praise the Lord for that. Just commit that to the Lord. I've put a lot of prayer requests in over the years. Some people have decided to become my enemies and hatch a plot to discredit my name. Please pray that God will give me wisdom and His grace and mercy, that it will shine through. Also, pray for these souls with love. There's no name, but we just commit that to the Lord tonight. Want to pray for the memorial service for the niece of Sister Joy Sherman that will be in Dayton, Ohio on Thursday, April the 10th. So we just pray that the Lord would be with those folks during this time, that God would just help them and be with them. We believe He's able to do that, don't we? Brother Andrew Kennedy needs prayer. He is homesick, so let's remember that need. Please pray for my brother Paul. What's that last name? Who sent this thing? Can you help me with that? My brother Paul, it looks like Tossington. I don't know if I got that right or not in prayer. He had surgery on his hand, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Sister Martha Ann sends this in. Her mother fell at home on Monday night. She's in the hospital right now. Will be moved to a rehabilitation hospital soon to try to help her to get her strength back. My mother is feeble already. She desires all of your prayers. So we just pray and ask God to help her and as she recovers tonight. Please pray for Brother Sam, Sister Gail Clark. She has been sick today and unable to be in the service tonight. So let's pray for that need. Sister Pat Short sends this in to please pray for my cousin Sandy Hilton and family. They live in Virginia near my dad. Her husband committed suicide, and they located the body on Tuesday afternoon. They are all in great need of prayer. So we certainly want to pray for those folks, that the Lord will just be with them during this time. Please pray for Brother and Sister Baker who are having health issues. Also pray for a very urgent unspoken prayer request for Brother Baker. We just commit that to the Lord. Brother Jim Hughes requests prayer for his daughter Victoria. She's having some tests ran tomorrow, so let's pray for that need. And then here's a prayer request for a Patty. I can't make this out. M-I-D-K. Who would have sent that in? Does anybody know who sent that in? Midkiff. Okay, thank you, Brother Aaron. Let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. I apologize for not being able to make these out, but I've been out of school a long time, and reading was never one of my major subjects. But I do the best I can. All these prayer requests, the Lord knows, and that's what counts. He sees the need of every person tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Do you believe that we're serving a God that can answer prayers? Do you believe you're serving a God that cares about your needs? He's done so much for every one of us tonight. Some of you, He's given absolute miracles. By the doctor's report, some of us shouldn't even be here. Should be already gone. But by God's grace, we're here tonight to serve Him and to love Him. Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Give Him a hand clap of praise tonight as you stand. Brother Philip Elliott, if you'd come tonight, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just commit these things into the Lord. Invite His presence. Brother, if you'll play something tonight softly as we pray tonight. Brother Philip, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful to be here with You tonight, Lord. Lord, I know where I would be if You hadn't intervened for me several years ago, Lord. And I'm so thankful, Lord, to be in this church as a part of this congregation and a part of that bride, Lord God. I'm thankful for every member here, Lord. I'm thankful for our pastor. And I'm thankful for these testimonies, Lord God. Lord, I pray for these needs, Lord, that You would answer them. Lord, we lay them at Your feet for every one of them. Lord, I can't remember all of them, Lord God. But I know You know every one of them, and I know that Your perfect will work out in the end. I pray for each hand that was raised, Lord, whatever they were, I pray for them, Lord God. Whether it's financial needs or whether it's sickness, Lord, or trouble in the home, Lord, I don't know. But, Lord, that's not important, what I know. We just lay it all at your feet, Lord God, and I pray you bless them. I pray you be within service with us tonight, Lord God, that you'd walk these aisles among us, Lord, and visit each and every one of us tonight. Bless our pastor and strengthen him, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Phil. God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come tonight, receive the evening offering. If you're visiting here with us in the service tonight, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Those that are streaming the service tonight, pray the service would just be a real blessing to all those that are streaming. May God just bless them with a real good time as they enjoy the service with us tonight. Now, I want you to remember that the next Wednesday evening, the buses will be here to pick up all of the youth to take them to the Louisiana Youth Camp. So we will not be having service here this coming week from tonight. There will not be any service on Wednesday. But now, don't forget, our Easter meeting starts on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I know you're anticipating. I know you're looking forward to it. And I believe the Lord's going to just give us a great time. If you can, when you come to church, during those Easter meetings especially, probably going to be parking problems. So do the best you can. Ride with somebody. Get in the trunk of their car if you have to. Whatever you have to do to get here, just get here. But let's have as few cars as we possibly can to make room for what they're anticipating, quite a big crowd of people. So can you help us out on that? Yeah. All right. The cemetery probably lets you park over there if you need to. So we'll do the best we can, but help us out in every way that you can. All right. Somebody say praise the Lord. Your boy's hands got frostbite on them tonight. You ain't played a lick since I've been talking, and I don't like to talk when you ain't playing. So I feel inferior when you do me that way. But let's sing a song tonight. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. Are you glad that he did that for you tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Oh,
seen, he saw a predestinated saved. Oh, give him a big hand clap of praise. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give him one more hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, just a view.
Tonight, Brother Harvey, Sister Shirley, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Brother John, you come to the platform, be getting ready to sing. Ever how you have that arranged tonight, if you come on. Let's sing this little chorus just before we have our specials tonight. Well, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Yes, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, it's deeper, it's fuller, and it's sweeter. Oh, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
The more I trust him, the more I love him, nothing good for me tonight. I wouldn't stop now if I tried.
Well, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Yes, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, it's deeper, it's fuller, and it's sweeter. Sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Hallelujah. Thank you for helping us tonight. God bless you. Give our singers a nice hand. You can be seated tonight as they come to sing.
I'm so glad to be a part of this end time message.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my
prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hands. Oh, Jesus, hold my hands. Sing redemption songs someday. Oh, I will be a soldier brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and I daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. By a crown of life have won. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Sing it with us. Just hold my hand.
Tell you what, we were reading in Samuel just the other day, and you know, the devil, the reason he don't completely get the upper hand, he's a little too nice. We you know, when he wins, he wants to take you prisoner. But that's not what we do when we win, right? The you know, David won the battle with Goliath, and all those Philistines, they sit up there, okay, well, I guess we made a deal. We're going to serve you. Let's go. We're going to go live in your houses, and we're going to cook your meals. And next thing they knew, they were running for their lives. Right? We don't make any deal with the devil. Anyway, I will be a soldier. This is a song that I wrote for my granddad some time back. This is called, he was a soldier of the cross. I tell you what. This is called, The Old Soldier's Reunion. How fondly he remembers when he first heard the call of the captain for to beckon him to war. With Christ to ride before him, how swift the long years passed. Now the soldier kneels beside a lonely shore, where eyes that once were clear and bright and could hold you with their gaze close at last against the night, till they open in the company of friends to behold the captain's face. Will you meet me at the old soldier's reunion by and by? Or when Jesus comes in glory, will you join me in the sky? Will you show courage in the fight? Will you be not afraid to die? Then will you meet me at the old soldier's reunion by and by? The tired and weary soldier lay down his arms and rank. He cast aside his articles of war. Then he stepped into the river, left his armor on the bank. Where he's going, he won't need it anymore. Where eyes that fire and death have seen, and the trenches overthrown, gaze at last on meadows green, as he hears his captain softly say, oh my soldier, welcome home. Will you meet me at the old soldier's reunion by and by? Or when Jesus comes in glory, will you join me in the sky? Will you show courage in the fight? Will you be not afraid to die? Then will you meet me at the old soldier's reunion by and by? Will you show courage in the fight? Will you be not afraid to die? Then will you meet me at the old soldier's reunion by and by?
Praise the Lord. We're going to have one more song tonight, Brother Wes. God bless you. Good to see you in service tonight. Thought a lot about our brother during this time. God bless you, buddy. Sure appreciate you. Brother Daniel and Brother Kenneth and myself had a request to sing a song tonight, and we don't get requests often. And when we do, we don't know how to act. So, and this is kind of a bittersweet that we're singing tonight. I don't know if he wanted me to say this or not, but Brother Daniel's going to be leaving us for a while, going to New York. Up with Brother Robert. He's got some work up there to do. And I tell you what, I've stood on the platform all across the country with Kenneth and Daniel, and I don't know why, but we've sung a lot of songs. I don't remember why, but we have. We've sung a lot of songs, seen a lot of people blessed by songs that that the Lord let Daniel have. And, you know, I know this. We're all getting older. Every one of us getting older. And our time as being out singing and doing what we could, we know that that's past. Our place is right here, right now. And we realize that. But we've seen a lot of people blessed. And you're going to be praying for Brother Daniel and Sister Lois. We sure are, aren't we? I don't know if she's going to be gone with him all the time, but he's going to be there working, and we just pray that the Lord would keep his hand on Brother Lenuel while he's away from us. And hope he makes a lot of money. I really do. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this song, Brother Harry. You get ready to sing the second verse to it. Redemption draweth nigh. You sing the second verse, and we'll try to sing that. Could we stand? Let's just do it tonight together. I'm so glad that I am resolved in knowing that my days here are longer than they're going to be. I've spent more time here than I'm going to spend. I believe our redemption is getting real close. You believe that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord.
Sing it. Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how King Jesus would come again someday. But if back then it seemed so real, and I just can't help but feel how much closer His coming is today. Signs of the time are everywhere.
There's
a brand new feeling.
Being fulfilled. I'm glad to be a part of it. We'll either be on the negative side of prophecy or the positive side. I want to be on the positive side. Let's turn to the book of James, if you would, chapter 5, verse 14. I want to speak to you tonight on the effectual prayer of a godly man. Effectual prayer of a godly man. How many knows it works? Not just a godly man, but a godly woman. James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to the other, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. So he prayed and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. I talked to Brother Dale Potter on Monday night. Many remember we prayed for him a few weeks ago. And he wanted me to thank you for praying for him. And wanted me to share with you that the Lord had been moving for him. And the amount of insulin he'd been taking had been reduced. His vision had cleared up. Clarity of his eyes, his swelling in his feet had gone down. And he was just rejoicing. Wanted me to thank you all for him and wanted you to continue to pray for him. He just believed in God for a complete miracle. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does avail much. Well, I say we pray then. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we know that you are a prayer answering God. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, to know that we are not in this world alone. Oh God, I thank you that we can believe. I cannot imagine living in this world and believing in Darwinism or believing that there is no God, being an atheist. Oh, I just cannot imagine every day of my life with not a desire, not something in me to look forward to meeting you. Lord, I'm so glad we can believe. Heavenly Father, we ask you that you would speak to us tonight from your word. May we be benefited by our gathering together. Lord Jesus, I have laying before me tonight, Father, some prayer cloths, several different ones, Lord, for various needs, sickness, depression, different things that are going on in people's lives. Lord, I'm going to preach with them near my body tonight. My body is nothing. But Lord, it's the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd move for these needs and these requests of all these different people. Speak to us tonight. Your great word, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated, children. We so appreciate you and love you. What a privilege it is for us to be able to be gathered in the presence of God. What a wonderful thing that God has given to us, called prayer. You know, it's a wonderful thing when people can be able to talk about God and be able to discuss doctrine and theology. And many people are known by their words. Many people are identified by certain stands that they take. And boy, they can explain this and explain that. But what's amazing is when you go to looking in the scripture, you never find God identifying a righteous man just by the doctrines that he believes. Now this is, it might be a little peculiar to you, but I want you to look at it for just a few moments, that if James says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now you realize that whenever a hypocrite will pray, God is not obligated to answer the prayer of a hypocrite. God is obligated to only answer one prayer of a sinner man, and that is a prayer of repentance. For John 9:31, the Bible tells us, God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, then him he heareth. Now, whenever we think of people in this day, and so many that claim to be so right, and they have the right way, and they are the right way in their church and all that, but yet, would God identify them as being righteous? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's not the prayer of every man that avails much. It's not even every prayer of a righteous man. but it is the right kind of prayer, the energized prayer of a righteous man. Now, this is why that before I've made to you challenges about people who want to say the message is wrong or the prophet is wrong, and they would like to come and prove that, not just by words, but by prayer. Now, let me show you what I'm saying. If we have an individual here tonight that would be sick, bound by devil, demon possessed, whatever it is, one sure way that we would be able to know if this man or that woman or this man or that boy or that girl or whoever, that God identifies them as being righteous, would let them alone pray for that individual. And let's see how God will answer their prayer. Not them and you and you and you and you. To where that their faith, this person's faith, might be coupled underneath that unbeliever. And they would say, well, I prayed for them. No, let them pray for them alone. And let's see if God answers that individual's prayer and God calls them righteous. You see, many people have been prayed for and they've come through prayer lines of men that was as false as they could be. And yet they were convinced, oh, that man's a man of God because then he prayed for me. It might not even been that man that got the prayer through. It might have been somebody sitting there by you or somebody sitting around you or maybe even you yourself that got the prayer through, but he was the one who got the glory. But you know what? God answers the prayers of righteous people. He's not obligated to answer hypocrites. He's not obligated to answer. And let me tell you, to be honest with you, friends, God does not answer many prayers of hypocrites. He does not do it. That's not what the Bible says. He does not answer the prayer of sinners, but he answers the prayers of the righteous. Now, with God to be identified as being righteous, it's a very special thing. To be a Christian is not necessarily to be righteous. To be a saved individual is not necessarily to be righteous, because you can be saved and still have all kinds of filthy habits in your life, which you don't have a right standing with God yet. But to enter into a state of righteousness to where that you has been attributed to your account, which is logizo, which is the Greek word that it says it is attributed to your account, that you have been accredited in God's presence and God's sight that you are righteous. That can only be to those who've actually entered into a new birth. And as we're going to find out, there's fewer of them on the earth than probably what we think. Lots of folks that are Christians, lots of folks that are so-called believers, but we know it's not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, but him that doeth the will of my Father. Now, whenever God then will answer the prayer of a righteous man. Now, here we read about Elias, that Elias was a man as subject to like passions as we are, and yet Elijah was not a perfect man. Elijah was not a sinless man. Elijah had all kinds of human things. I mean, Elijah got to a spot, he felt like he was the only one. Was that right? No, it wasn't right. God said, no, Elijah, that ain't right. There's 7,000's not never bowed the knee to Baal. But you know what? The believers of that day said, you know what? We're putting up a website against Elijah. He told something that wasn't the truth. Come on. Boy, it's a good thing some of these message folks wasn't in his day. They'd had Elijah on YouTube, wouldn't they? But he was a man of like passion as we are. But how did God look at that? Did God look at that and say, you know what? You messed up for good. I ain't never going to use you again. God knew he was a human being. But this is the way God attributed. Now notice how that James would be inspired by the Spirit of God and that he would accent this great man of God by answered prayer. By answered prayer, not just by the doctrines that he stood for. James does not mention Elijah preached this and Elijah preached that and Elijah preached that and Elijah preached that and Elijah stood for this and Elijah stood for that. But James identifies this man as being a righteous man because God answered his prayers. Now is he the only one praying? He's not. You've got these prophets of Baal, they're praying, they're jumping, they're shouting, they're screaming, but did their God answer their prayer? Absolutely not. There might have been other children of Israel that was praying. Did God answer their prayer? The beginning of the famine and the end of the famine was attributed to one man's prayer. It was not even attributed only to the word that came out of his mouth. Notice the peculiarity of this setting that James does not attribute it only to Elijah saying, well, thus saith the Lord. But he attributes thus saith the Lord being correlated together by prayer. Do you understand, friend?
friend, that we have got the Word of God for this day. We believe that. We've got the Word of God for this day. But we, as if though we look as a, well, the Word will happen on its own accord. It don't need me to pray. It don't need me to ask God. That's not the way it happened then. The Word of God was already spoken, but it was spoken and it must correlate along with this man praying and said, no, it ain't going to rain until I call for it. So it ain't going to rain. So God says it, but it must couple together with what? A righteous man praying. Jesus has said he's coming soon. Do you believe that? We believe every predestinated seed will be in. But are we praying to that same account? Or are we just letting it go to the sovereignty of God? Well, God will do whatever he's going to do. Why should I pray for my loved ones? Why should I? Because it's coupled together with our prayers. You know, should the evangelists here in our church and around the message stop preaching? Absolutely not. We need them like never before. Why? Because their work, their labor, their prayer, their preaching along with everybody else, it will help bring to pass the prophecies that have been spoken. So, you know, we look at something so wonderful in the Word of God, and James would actually tie the word of prophecy and identification with Elijah praying and Elijah again praying that God would open up the heavens. And here comes the rain. Now, notice as we move into this, Brother M said prayer is the most vital force that God ever put into the hand of mankind. The most effective force that's known to man is prayer. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Now, you said that with your mouth, but do you amen that with your actions? Uh-oh. No amens on that. The most effective force known to man is prayer. Do you believe that? It's prayer that changes things. Notice again, paragraph 17, the same message. Now see what prayer does? Prayer is not exactly bringing God down to man. It's bringing man up to God. Now look at what prayer does. Prayer is not making our wish list, as I've been saying this for several weeks. God, I want. God, I need. God, I want. God, I need. That's not prayer. That's repeating words. And prayer is not actually bringing God down on our level. It is actually us somehow in the means of prayer being able to be lifted beyond where we are. Remember, eagles, you are in your realm in the heavenlies. We pray to earthly minded. We go to church too earthly minded. We listen to tapes too earthly minded. Oh my. Prayer is not exactly bringing God down to man. It's bringing man up to God. See, as you pray, you lose sight of these earthly things. Now notice what prayer then, moving into the realm of deeper prayer, actually does. So what do we think prayer does though? We bring these earthly things, most people, they talk about earthly things, they think about earthly things. It's constantly prayer is made up of the accumulation of earthly things. Lord, I've got this problem, my nephew's got this problem, my uncle's got this problem, and the church is going through this, and Lord, the message is going through that. And what is their prayer made up of? Mostly earthly things. Earthly things. And then they pray again tomorrow, and it's more earthly things, and they pray the next day, and it's more earthly things. And then we wonder why that prayer is such a drudgery. Well, I don't understand why God don't answer my prayers. I wonder why. Is it any wonder when we're constantly bringing up earthly things after what, Brother Donnie, shouldn't we mention our requests? We should. But that's not the only reason we pray. Notice what it does. He says that you lose sight of these earthly things and you sway out. Notice you sway out into somewhere else. Now notice what real prayer, and prayer is like faith. Prayer is like many things about God. There are degrees of faith by which we move into, and there are degrees of prayer by which we move into. Now many of you, maybe you've never actually been able to sway out into somewhere else, because what you've done is spent your time in that earthly realm, thinking about earthly problems, earthly things about this and that and the other, and you've never moved beyond high enough to say, okay, Lord, I've mentioned those things. Now I want to move into that realm. Oh, Brother Donnie, that's scary. That's scary. Why should it be? You are an eagle. Now, if you was a ground squirrel, I said yes. For you to be 200 feet off the ground, that would be scary. If you're a rabbit and you're up in the air 200 feet, that's scary. But what is 200 feet high for an eagle? Come on, children. Hey, if you're a chicken, 200 feet high is pretty high for you, old cockle-doodle-doo. But if you're an eagle, what's 200 feet to you? Nothing. What is to a real eagle? Oh, my, this gets lost in the presence of God and actually gets out there somewhere. You sway out into somewhere else way beyond and on till you come into His presence. And then a faith that you have laid it out before God said, now here, God, here it is. I want to get well for this cause. Now watch what He shows. I want to get well for this cause. Watch what He's doing. He's bringing now and merging our earthly needs, but they have now merged into a desire from the Spirit of God. Okay, you want a better job. Why do you want it? You want to be healed. Why do you want to be healed? Well, I want a better job so I can have more of this and more of that and more of that. No, you've not merged into that realm somewhere. Now watch what He says. I want to get well for this cause. Or I want you to do this for me for this cause. Notice what it does. Now when we get far enough along in prayer, we get just down. I want. Then we get right down to the thing. Why do I want this? Why do I want this prayer answer? Why do I want this? Do I really need this? Is this beneficial for me? Oh my, you folks are quiet on this now. Mama, I want to get well for this cause. Or will you do this for me? I want well from this cancer or this TB or this anemia or whatever it is. I'll walk before you. Now notice what you do. I will do everything I can. I'll walk before you. I'll give this testimony everywhere I go. So what are you doing? You're asking God, God, I need this. God, I want that. And this is what I'll do. And this is why I need it. I wonder sometimes, friends, if we weren't in this frame of mind, if we would ask God for some of the stuff we asked for. I'll give this testimony everywhere I go. I'll be happy to do it, Lord. I will use my life not for myself. I'll use it for your glory to help others to see you. Now, this is the realm of prayer that we can move into. It's beyond what I need of my daughter and my grand, my grandson and my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, and my light bill, my electric bill. I imagine God gets so sick of hearing about sewer bills. You imagine God gets sick of hearing about Elizabethan Electric and Johnson City Power Company and Verizon and Alltel and whatever more. God gets sick of hearing all that junk that our minds are so filled with the natural thing that we never soar above all the things that's around us. Lord, I want this because of this. Lord, I want this because of that. And if you heal me, I promise you I'll make you a servant of God. I'll tell you, Lord, I'll give all of my heart. But some folks, if God heals them and then they get things met in their life, what they do? They backslide and go right back to the devil. That's right. Now what's this in the supernatural 1956? Prayer is a sincere thing. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is not get down, shut your eyes, thinking about your washing or your work you're doing, say, Lord, help me and John, heal Miss Jones and so forth. That's not prayer. That's repeating some words. Now listen, Brother Ben is going to condense the Lord's Prayer that we've dealt with, and he's going to condense it and put it in a very simple form. But prayer is come into an atmosphere where you realize you're in the presence of God, and you're moving to then in the deepest of sincerity. First, you say a little worship. It's not, Lord, I want, Lord, I need, Lord, I want. But how do you begin prayer? Oh, Lord God, I worship you. You're my healer. You're my Savior. What is that? That's the condensation of what Jesus was dealing with of the Lord's Prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You're putting him first. It's not all about you. Prayer is not all about you. It's not about you and your family. It's about you and God and the universe and all that goes with it. My, first you say a little worship. Oh, Jehovah, how I love you. How I love you. See it? Then after the worship of prayer. The worship of prayer. So here you enter in. Now, what is this? This is prayer. So there is a worship of prayer. The right type of worship. Is this suitable for shouting? Lord, forgive me. I'm going to go on a run. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to go back and more. I'm going to run, God. That's not the worship of prayer. What is it? Sincerity. I'm coming before my king. I'm coming before my husband. Lord, excuse me. I'm going to shout a little bit and I'll be right back. There is a worship that is conducive to prayer, to bring your quest. What is it? Oh, Jehovah, I love you. I worship you. You've answered so many prayers for me. Lord God, you've done so much for you. Oh, my. You know what? If you're all the time picking on your kids and throwing off on everything they do wrong, if your brother sat down to supper tonight and your wife done 42 things that you liked and done one that you didn't, you think that's going to encourage you if you spend all supper time throwing off on that one thing? You want a green peas for supper and she fixed green beans. You know I don't like green peas. Here it is on Wednesday night. I'll tell you one thing, woman, you ought to straighten up and do this and that and the other. And yet she done the bread, she done the pecan pie, she done all this other stuff that you like. But you pick and pick. Is that going to encourage her? It's not. How you imagine then when we would go before our Father. Father, I want this and Father, I need that. And you need to hurry, Lord, because I am in a rush. I've got to go goofing. I mean, I've got to go golfing. And then I've got to go turkey. And then I've got to go boating. And God said, well, you're way too busy for me, boy. When you get time, won't you come on back and we'll talk. Why don't you slow down and then we'll take some time. But you imagine, Lord, how come you didn't answer this and how come you didn't answer that? That ain't the way we approach him. But oh, Jehovah, you've answered so many prayers for me. You've done this and you've done that and you've done that. It's not to change his attitude. You go to saying that, it'll change yours. You go to getting down and say, well, Lord, I'll tell you, I don't understand. How come you ain't answer this and answer that? You're not going to get much from God as long as you've got that attitude. But if you go to saying, Lord God, you've answered so much for me. You've done millions of things that I know about. No telling how many I don't know about. You've been so good. You've healed me. You've saved me. You've filled me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jehovah, I worship you. I praise you. Get ready, brother. You're fixing to blast off. You better get ready. You're fixing to blast off. Then after the worship of prayer, you come with a sincere heart asking. And then he says, if you abide in me, not go out from behind the curtains in the world today, run around and try to get back in behind the curtains tonight. But if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Otherwise, if you're like Aaron's rod, if you're like Aaron's rod that pulled up to the Shekinah glory by the golden pot of manna, when you can eat it at any time. Your soul. Listen now what a real believer is when they get in the presence of God. You are like Aaron's rod. What was Aaron's rod? It was originally an almond tree. And then they cut it and it died in the life out of it. But when there was a question about who was called of God, amen, they brought that rod right into the presence of God and the original life is quickened that was inside of that almond and it put forth buds and leaves and almonds. Don't you see why quotes alone will not reproduce the life? Going to church will not reproduce the life. You've got to get in the life of Christ himself. Then you're Aaron's rod. Then you'll blossom and you'll put forth what? Predestinated seed. Oh, glory. Notice this. And your soul is refreshed and blooming and yielding. You mean all that comes from prayer? Makes me wonder why we don't do it more. But friends, listening to tapes alone will not yield this. You're adding to what the prophet said when you did that. If you think going to church will do on that on its own, it will not. That's not the message. Prayer. Prayer. Now let's look at this in verse 16 where James says, confess your faults one to the other and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The word effectual is energio, put forth power. To work for one. To affect. To display one's activity. Show oneself operative. So the Holy Ghost in a godly man or a godly woman in praying is not just words. It is operative. So it is a supernatural element that moves into the prayer life of an individual. That takes their words, and it might have been the same words they said yesterday. But today when they said them, it was under the divine inspiration of energio. Then that prayer becomes energized. You think the little energizer bunny is something, you ought to see a real saint of God when they're in the presence of God. So it's not that it's more fancy words. It's not that it's more theological terms. But he simply energizes like with Hattie Wright. Brother Branham, that ain't nothing but the truth. You wonder how many times that woman said that, since that's common Kentucky terminology. You wonder how many times that woman said that since she was a little girl. Mama, that ain't nothing but the truth. Daddy, that ain't nothing but the truth. But this time it was energized from another world. Oh my. Notice this now. The word signifies wrought by the energy of the Spirit. Properly refers to that which has power, which in its own nature is fitted to produce an effect. Sinners don't have this. Hold on tight. Folks that are backsliding from this message don't have this. Only righteous folks do. Well, praise the Lord. Now, if you're going to follow a man or you're going to follow a woman and you're going to commit your soul into their care, if I was you, I would want to know what God is doing to that individual, not flopping their jaws. No. I want to see what God is saying about that man. Now, me, if I was not a preacher and I was going to go to a church somewhere and believe the message of the hour, I would want to put my soul, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, I would want to have them under the ministry of a man that not only can preach and not only put scriptures together and quotes together, I would want to see Almighty God working with that man. And if I never see a supernatural something in that man, I ain't going to stay long. Because the gospel is not by word only. It is by power and manifestation. Oh, Brother Don, you say that because you're Pentecostal. I say it because I'm from God. Because that is my Father's word. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Not any man's prayer. Not any man's prayer. Why, the Buddhists can pray, and the Sikhs and the Jains, my, and the Muslims pray. Pray three times a day. Me and Carol was down in Knoxville a few years ago over Sam's and Walmart there. You know what I'm talking about? We was coming out of Walmart, minding our own business, and all of a sudden we seen these guys drag out these prayer mats out. Oh, no, here we go, September the 11th again. They're going to blow up Walmart. And they laid out their prayer mats right there in the middle of the Walmart parking lot. They didn't care who laughed at them. They didn't care who stopped them or who, whatever. And they're praying to a God that does not even exist. There is no such a deity called Allah. There is no such a deity. There is one God. And that is, oh hallelujah, that is the God of this word. Were their prayers heard? How could they be? You see, friends, it's not even promised that every prayer of the righteous has power. But those that are energized. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I prayed prayers before that didn't have much avail. You might as well say amen because you have too. But there's other times I've prayed prayers and I've seen my God perform miracles. There's times I prayed prayers, Brother Dowling, you have too, and all of a sudden it's like something that's not you. You know what I'm talking about? You've all been there. It's like it's from another world somewhere. It's not even you. It's your mouth. It's your expression. It's your words. If you mispronounce words, you ever notice the Holy Ghost? That if you mispronounce words, the Holy Ghost goes in there and say, oh, you divided this diphthong with this and you left out this verb and adverb. That's why, friends, people look at the message and say, my goodness, Brother Ben said this over here. And he said, why didn't God correct him? Because God never done that. God never done that. Can you imagine when Job said, cursed be the day I was born. Let this happen in the heaven. Why did God ever allow that to be in the Bible? God wanted us to know prophets were men. Prophets were human beings. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Jonah, I turned to the tree. Oh, I would to God I'd never been born. I wish this had happened and that happened. Why? He was a man. You and I have got down and prayed. And if you mispronounce the word, the Holy Ghost said, wait a minute. You've been mispronounced that. You left that out. Don't say it that way. Shh. I never get nothing prayed. There's no doubt as many times as I mispronounced it. I've never preached a perfect sermon in my life, and I've been preaching most of my life. I probably left out verbs and adverbs and nouns and adjectives. I've seen a lot of lives change, though. I've seen a lot of folks set free. I've seen a lot of folks, oh, hallelujah, devils cast out. So whether it's a diphthong or a thong or a dip or whatever it is, it heals. It sets the captive free. Oh my. So the fervent, effectual, fervent prayer. Look at this prayer. So it's one that's fervent. It's set on fire. It's effectual. It has power by nature of the source. It has power. It's energized. And that energy has caught it on fire. Whew. Now listen to me, friends. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're louder when it catches on fire. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden we kick up a gear and we're louder. We're screaming louder than we were. No, no. Sometimes it might be the simplest little prayer. It don't mean that you're any louder, that you're screaming. Devil! Devil! He ain't hard of hearing. He's got better hearing than you got. But if somehow we think, oh my, oh glory to God, the more I sweat, the more anointed I am. Well, the more wet you are, that's for sure. I don't mean the anointing is not measured by sweat drops. But you know what? An energized prayer that Jesus would say, Satan, come out of him. Oh, praise the Lord. Now watch. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The quality on which success of prayer will be based. Not how much faith he's got. Not even how he appears on the outside. But if he's a righteous man. Oh, glory to God. Now, being righteous can be found in all ranks and races. The righteous aren't just among the whites. The righteous aren't just among the blacks or the Hispanics. They aren't just among the rich. Or they aren't just among the poor. They aren't just among the illiterate. Oh, the educated. Oh, glory to God. It crosses every barrier. It crosses every culture. Amen. Can you imagine that little old black angel mama? When the prophet of God is spoken to by the Spirit of God, said, go take a walk. Lord, I've got this plane. I've got to drop this letter off. I'm going to catch this plane. He said, go walk. So here he comes walking down there. Here stands his mama. So what you doing here? And I'm waiting for Elijah. Glory to God. Dude was on her back where she'd been standing out there. Said, I told her who I was. Said, you ever hear of me? Said, no, sir, Paulson. I ain't never heard of you. Dear God. How can you expect God to answer your prayer and you never heard of William Branham? Come on now, saints. Oh my, you know the story. Brother Bam said, when he got in there, said, Auntie, you pray. And he said, friend, when she prayed, you could tell she had talked to him before. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Parson, will you pray? And he said, he lays his hair just a little, a hand over on the boy, a little simple prayer. Oh, mama. And she said, what does mama's baby want? What was it? Elijah and a righteous woman. Amen. And you know what? There wasn't enough devils. There wasn't enough power in syphilis. There wasn't enough power in social disease. Why? The righteous prayer. Oh, hallelujah. The prayer of a righteous man and a righteous woman had met together. Two omnipotents had met and God's got to move. It avails much. She wasn't a theologian. She wasn't very deep, but she knew how to contact God. The word availeth much is very powerful with God. Availeth much. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man is very powerful with God. So God gives you the most powerful weapon ever given to the hands of man, prayer. And then you do it effectually energized. And when he comes back before his throne, God said, this moves me. I'm moved. Buddy, I'll tell you one thing. I want to move him, don't you? Because I know one thing. If I can move him, he's going to move me. If I can move him, he'll move your sickness. Will you imagine a saint of God having that ability that they move God? Their prayer has power with God. Brother Ben said the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer, it repeats it, avails much. See, Elijah was a man subject to life passion as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain.
Amen.
For 3 years and 6 months. Then he went and prayed earnestly again and the heavens gave rain. Prayer changes things. I can't change it. You can't change it. It's prayer that changes it. God told a man one time he's going to die. Set his house in order. Sent the prophet to go tell him. And the man turned his face to the wall and began to cry. And asked God for 15 years longer to live. And God changed the course. Give him 15 years longer. What is it? Prayer. Now don't misunderstand me. What if this great king would have quoted the prophet's quotes? I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Thus saith the prophet. I'm going to die. Thus saith the prophet. I'm going to die. Thus saith the prophet. Page so-and-so. Paragraph so-and-so. Thus saith the prophet. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Oh, boy, you got quiet on me. The prophet's only obeying what God told him to do. But this man turns his face to the wall and he begins to say, God, I've got things I've got to do. I've got things. I don't have my house set in order. There's things I've got to do. And God, so moved by this man, stops Isaiah in the corner and said, turn around and go back. God, you're going to embarrass me. I've done give thus saith the Lord. But God said, I've changed the direction on this situation. What you mean you done it without asking me? I'm the prophet of God. You mean to tell me you're going to send me back in there? This man has so moved me. Get back in there and tell him I'm going to let him live. Listen, brothers. Man's not measured by how big muscles he's got. He's measured by the bag in his knees of his pants where he prays. Man is not measured by muscle. That's beast. He's measured by character. Again, he says, I think character is measured by man, not muscles on his arm or calluses in his hands, but the bag and the knees of his trousers where he has prayed. I think that's what makes man. Is it any wonder then we don't have men of this caliber around our message? Why? We don't think prayer is that necessary. We make our requests known. Like we're going through a drive-thru. I want this. I want that. I want that. Where are people who love to pray? My brothers, don't raise your hands. But if the character in every man in this building is measured by the bag in your pants, do you have any? Not by how much you quote. Not even by how much we preach. How much we sing. But if our character, oh my, you're getting quiet on me. Praise the Lord. Notice again he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, if you only knew that in your hand Christ gave us this authority with his name by being Christians. The most powerful weapon the world has ever known. Prayer. It even changes everything. He gave us the strongest weapon that in all the world, and that's prayer. Prayer is what changes things. The Christian doesn't realize what a force he has when he kneels on his knees before Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't realize. Can we say amen to that? No doubt I don't realize. Can you all say no doubt I don't realize? Oh my, what's this? How many times, when Brother Branham would have, through the discernment line, the people would come up. Now here's a little insight to the way that this would work around him. And many times it will turn dark around the patient. I know the death's laying there. And I say, well, the Lord bless you, or I pray that God will heal you and send them off the platform, for I don't know what it will be. Now notice, he could only go by vision. So if he would see a darkness turn around him, he did not see the darkness break away by the light. He would say, well, the Lord heal you or God bless you. Not thus saith the Lord, because he didn't have thus saith the Lord to say it. Now watch what he said. Then send them off the platform, for I don't know what will be. Because sometimes God could pronounce death on a person. And then their prayer could change the thing. So God, Brother Branham, could actually stand there, brother, you're going to die. Sister, you're going to die. But the prayer of that individual, and God would say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Tell them they're going to live. Why? Prayer. Prayer. Oh, Lord, children, may God help us to realize the power that's given to us. Prayer could change a thing. Do you believe it? It did it for Hezekiah, didn't it? When God told the prophet, go tell him he's going to die. Not come off his bed. He turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly. And God spared his life 15 years. Oh my. After death had been pronounced by God. Lord Jesus. Prayer is the most powerful weapon ever put in the hand of mankind. You're going to laugh at me and say I'm foolish. But if we get an alert tonight that Russia has detonated and sent forth 1,000 warheads, and it ain't time for us to go home, I believe through the prayers of the saints of God, we could pray and God would stop them things in midair, or all of a sudden they'd go right down into the ocean and fizzle out like a firecracker. Why? Because my prayers is more powerful than all the nuclear warheads Russia's got. Your prayers is more powerful. Oh, God can only convince us that it's the truth. We have got the most powerful weapon that has ever been put into the hands of mankind. This is why we need leadership when we pray. Look what we can do with this weapon. We can pray and ask God for things. That's not for our good. We can pray and ask God for things. That's not the good of our children. God, I pray you'll do this for my kids and do that for my kids. Be careful how you're praying. Oh, God, I want you to bless them. God, I want you to give them a business. Give them. Are you sure that's what they need? I love this one here. I'm going to try my best to be nice and behave when I read this quote. But let me give you this disclaimer before I get to it. From this point on, I am not responsible for my actions or my behavior. Listen to this in the countdown. The natural astronaut is controlled by a unit of radar on the ground. This radar controls it. You've watched this perhaps on television. When they go up, how miles and miles and miles away, you couldn't see nothing or anything. Yet this radar's pointing right to it. It's controlled by radar, the natural astronaut. And the spiritual astronaut is controlled by a unit also, a unit of prayer. So you mean the astronaut takes off and he's spotted by radar and kept under the side of radar. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't feel nothing. You can't see it no longer. That the smoke plume is dissolved and it's gone. You can no longer hear it. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. You can't taste it. Hallelujah. But yet somebody's sitting there on the radar screen said, is everything okay? Yeah, it's okay. It's right there. You see that blip, blip, blip? It's right there. Oh, don't you love it whenever the devil says, you don't feel nothing. No, but I'm still blipping on the radar screen. Hallelujah. You don't feel like going to church? No, I may not, but I'm Mr. Blip. I've got to get on the screen tonight. I want God to know. I want the devil to know. I belong in the house of God. Yeah, just then, we're in the space. Oh, yeah, we're getting ready to blast off. 10-4, roger there. Go ahead. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-0. Go. But we say, Lord Jesus, we worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. Lord, there's turmoil all around us, there's trouble all around us. Yeah, don't worry that. You're ordained to life. I'll see you right on through. Woo! Hallelujah! Brother, this ain't from Houston. This ain't from Atlanta. This ain't from Dallas. It's from eternity. Lord, there's people falling to the left and the right. But didn't I say in my word, though 10,000 fall over here and 1,000 over there, it'll not affect you. Hallelujah. Lord, how do I know? Pray. Spend time with me with your radar unit. Hallelujah. Isn't it any wonder, friends, sometimes we feel lost? Isn't it any wonder sometimes we're disoriented? Why? We're trying to replace knowledge. We're trying to replace memory. We're trying to replace feeling with the radar unit God gave to control you. Y'all right?
10-4, Roger. We're doing good. Sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Praise God. Launch rockets okay, Roger. 10-4, okay. The Holy Ghost held. Our seal didn't break like Challenger's did.
There's trouble all around you. Doing okay?
Yes, sir. Doing fine. This is heaven. Checking in there on Bride 7. Checking with Bride 7. Is Bride 7 okay? Yes, Bride 7 is okay. We're doing all right. We're lying right up. You sent a prophet messenger in the last day. A spiritual rocket scientist.
Amen. A spiritual Elijah that would come down and give us the elements that we needed for our outside.
Roger there. There's a lot of folks falling away from you. Yes, sir, we noticed that, but we're going right on anyhow. We're not looking to the left. We're not looking to the right, but we're controlled by a predestinated seed, and radar down here is holding us.
Hallelujah! We've got the most powerful weapon that could ever be given to astronauts.
10-4, Roger there. Heaven is just right out your window on the left. That's why the signs are all around you. Didn't I tell you the end couldn't come until there came a falling away first? But don't let it shake you. If mama goes, daddy goes, the preacher goes. Don't let it shake you. You're still on the radar screen. I see y'all. Your name was on that screen before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah to God. Your name is still identified there. But just pray to me, children. Talk to me every now and then. Just check back with radar so I can just kind of emanate your soul and I can refresh you and you'll be like Aaron's rod. Houston, we're kind of out here about 375 miles north of Earth here. We landed up here in this astronaut. Yeah, 10-4 Challenger 7 there. You need to move over just a little bit because the radar shows you're going too far to the right. Roger, 0.8 degrees. We'll go back to the right again. Don't you see why we need prayer? Don't you see why we need to come to church? It helps adjust our paths. Amen. It helps adjust our attitude, Brother West. It helps adjust us. It controls us by this gift. It gives us what we need. Donnie, yes, sir. 10-4 there, Lord. You need to adjust your attitude a little bit there. Just 0.8 degrees over to the right. You know, you don't want to miss this. Oh, yes, sir, Lord. You adjusted. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, headquarters. Oh, you mean you ain't going to get mad at me? No, sir. Not mad at you, huh? You the main man. I don't want mad at you now. I want to be lined up at you. Watch. The spiritual that controls the spiritual and astronaut keeps him lined up. So you mean a unit of prayer, Brother Ben said, that controls the spiritual astronaut. Keeps him lined up. His prayer. He said, oh, it's good, I'll tell you. So a prayer helps keep me lined up. And what if I don't pray? Now let's say I do everything else. I listen to tapes, I read the books, I read my Bible, I go to church, I pay my tithes, but I don't pray. Oh my. God had a little unit sitting on the earth one time when his first astronaut was here. Checking in with Enoch there. 10-4, Enoch, interloop and destruction is fixing coming on the earth. This is control tower. Are you ready? 10-4, Roger, Lord, I'm ready. I think I'm closer to your house than I am nine.
Woo! Oh. You know where he got it at? Prayer! It wasn't just how to build the pyramids. It wasn't just knowledge. It was that fellowship with God.
You know, a little touch of faith stopped him, and that answered him back. A little touch of faith stopped him, and that answered him back. Prayer changes things. Okay, so prayer can change a sinner to a saint. Prayer can change a sick man to a well man. Right? Prayer can change our attitude. You know the rest of the story. Cannot prayer, following on through the obedience to the word, change my body? Prayer changes things. Doesn't it make the scripture in Luke 21:36 even more real? Pray ye therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Not just quote the Bible, not just go to church, but pray ye therefore always. Do you understand? Part of your change will come from your radar in your soul praying, God, get me out of this world. God, change my body. God, I don't want to stay here. Now let's change it. Let's look at the brain and the prayer connection. Dr. Newberg, a neuroscientist, has been scanning the brains of religious people to discover the connection between prayer and brain activity. In one particular study, it was shown that the frontal lobes lit on the screen when the subject was in meditational prayer. What was even more fascinating was the parietal lobes went dark. This is an area that normally takes our sensory information, tries to create for us a sense of ourselves and orient that self in the world. Newberg explains when people lose their sense of self, a blurring of the boundary between self and others. Now look what it does when you get into prayer. The blurring of the boundary instead of me. Don't you see this is exactly what Brother Bam said in Chattanooga in 1958? If a brother's done something against you, remember I read it last Wednesday? He said, don't miss him that. Take that brother to God in prayer. And he said, stay him there with him before the throne of God. And before long, you'll be feeling sorry for that man. Don't you see what's happened? It becomes the burden. He offended me. He hurt me. Me. You've not moved out of that part of your brain yet. You're still focusing on you in prayer. But get far enough, oh my, get far enough into the presence of God and you are no longer the predominant figure. It also means the more you focus on something, whether that's mass or auto racing or football or God, the more that becomes your reality and the more it becomes written into the neural connections of your brain. Don't you see why Satan wants to get us? Sometimes not necessarily sin. Just things that are our hobbies and our habits and things that we enjoy. And we talk about them, read about them, think about them. They're written into your brain. Lord, have mercy, children. What if we had some folks on this hill that was addicted to the Holy Ghost? Like you're addicted to football. Or some of y'all cannot wait for football season. You cannot wait for baseball season. What about Holy Ghost season? What about rapture season? What about word season? Oh my, even our brain would begin to think, word, rapture, body change, Holy Ghost. Instead of, did you hear old John Sikafoos signed a contract for the New York Hoochie Coochies for $70.2 million for 37 months? And did you hear old Hootie Cootie over there, but what you call it, caught a side $137 million contract? Had you heard my Lord sign my contract to go free? Had you heard about that? Had you heard that my Lord released me? I was a slave and he released me. Prayer releases dopamine, a chemical in the brain that is responsible for relaxation. Now I realize why some of y'all go to sleep when I'm preaching. You're praying. Dear God, please help Brother Darley. You're overdosed on dopamine. Can you imagine that God so constructed the body that he would cause the body to release chemicals in your body when you're praying? And notice what they do to you. They're responsible for relaxation and feelings of elation.
So you just let go and let God. You're just so relaxed and you're elated.
Dopamine is a big stress fighter.
Woo, boy, I'll tell you one thing. I need a lot of stress fighter, don't you? If there's ever a people that need to fight stress, it's us. But you know what the devil's done? The devil's got us fighting stress out of hobbies and this and that and other, and some kind of pills in the morning and another at noontime and another at three. Brother, you've got all you need in your body many times, but you're just not releasing it the right way.
But you get up on Saturday morning and say, what do you say? Let's go to Hollywood. So you head down the road and your dopamine is running high. Till you get into that traffic down around Pigeon Forge. Then people from Alabama, and them over there from Illinois, and them down there from South Carolina, and you're a madder than a hornet. What happened, dopey? Where's your dopamine? Huh? Where's this great pleasure you was going to have? Home. You got down there and they got the wrong cabin. They give you the Beverly Hillbillies cabin instead of a nice one. Swimming pool don't work, this don't work, and that don't work, and you're so stressed out. Wonder why? Wonder why? Because many of you chose to miss church instead of missing work. Uh-huh. Oh, you ain't going to miss work. No, sir, not if it's going to cost you a dollar. Uh-oh. And then you wonder, well, God, what's going on? God said, don't look at me. It ain't my fault. If you'd have prayed, I'd have told you not to come down here in the first place. Because I put it on your pastor's heart to preach something for you, and now you've missed it. Goodness gracious. Brother Donnie, you saying we shouldn't go to Dollywood? No, I ain't saying no such a thing. But I think we ought to pray about what we do. I think we ought to pray about trading cars. I think we ought to pray about what house we live in, what neighbors. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. The Lord would keep us from a lot of our troubles and keep us doped up if we'd pray more. You imagine Holy Ghost praying saints that just... Say, poor guy, he's on lower tabs, ain't he? Down at the cross, where am I saved? How you doing? Good. Doing fine. You're sitting there waiting for the parking spot and somebody right in front of you. Go ahead. Where most people... But you're doped up. Somebody talks about you, somebody posts something real bad about you on Facebook. Says all kinds of bad things about you and tells lies about you.
I can tell whether you're doped up or not when I read your response.
You see, the more doped up you are, the more you pray for them. Say, God, forgive them. God, forgive them. Don't lay it to the chart. But if you ain't doped up, boy, some of y'all's keyboards, it's a wonder they don't catch on fire. Them blazes of fire coming out, friends. Don't you realize that's the devil? The devil has pulled many of you into that trash.
Excuse me, let me go back here to my doping sermon. Dopamine is a big stress fighter. Not only can help students get through stress of exam week, but people who pray were shown to have less illnesses caused by prolonged stress. Well, if it can help a student get through their stress test, reckon it'll help me through my life test too. I don't know about you. I'm still a student in the school of life. I'm still learning. So those who themselves do the praying are less likely to suffer from depression. Oh, you mean so it ain't the same effect if you want me to do all the praying for you? Now watch. Listen to how healthy prayer is. Those themselves who do the praying are less likely to suffer from depression, high blood pressure, ulcers, and migraines. Another interesting effect prayer has on an individual's brain is the parietal lobes near the right back of the brain, which deal with the sense of self, become dim and slightly inactive. This means the person in prayer can lose track of time itself and over time develop selflessness, which is the opposite of selfish. Due
to the continual reshaping of the brain through concentrated prayer. So while you're praying in concentrated prayer, you are actually reshaping your brain.
I don't blame the devil. If I knew all this was going to happen to the children of God, I'd try to make them stop praying too. Come on, children. Brother Bram didn't say the most powerful weapon that's ever put in the hands of the saints of God was tapes. The most powerful weapon wasn't your long hair, sisters. It was not by brothers because you cut your hair and, well, I don't wear necklaces and bracelets and all that sort of thing. That's not the most powerful weapon. That's obedience to a holiness requirement of God. This is the weapon Satan don't want you to access. And if he can't stop you from praying, he'll try to just let you go into that first beginning realm and you never move beyond repeating words. Dr. Newberg in further study found that those who made prayer daily activity had faster reactions in the frontal parallel lobes than those who prayed less or not at all. Prayer warriors had sharpened those lobes of their brains and were more likely to use those areas of the brain unconsciously. Lord, have mercy. They've used them so much in the presence of God that it moves into the spot that the prophet of God said about Jesus. His face was totally unconscious. It had so moved to the saints of God down to the man in the engine room. It wasn't you trying to sack yourself. Oh, God will do it. I know God will answer. God don't want cheerleaders. God wants believers. We don't have to cheerlead ourselves when we get down to pray. Oh, my. Clinical studies have demonstrated that people who pray are less likely to get sick. Better able to cope mentally and emotionally with their illnesses. More likely to recover from surgery. More likely to recover from illness. Man alive, this ought to be a requirement on Obamacare. I hope Blue Cross and Blue Shield don't hear this. They don't auto-check your blood pressure and your urine and all that stuff. They want to know, do you pray? How often do you pray? We recommend daily prayer. Also have it exists for the power of prayer to maintain and improve the function of the immune system. Chemical connections have been identified between molecules produced by the central nervous system and the cells of the immune system. Astrocytes, a type of cell in the brain, can produce interleukin, a cocktail that affects immune reactions. So here you are just worshiping and loving God and praying. And your astrocytes is connecting with your locites, and your locites connecting with the big kites, and the big kites connecting with all the rest of the kites. And all the kite clan gets together, and they're linked together with the immune dudes, and they're sending them bad cells in your body. Get out of here. Get out of here. You ain't got no business. And every bit of it is stemming from what? A vitamin C shot? A vitamin D? Prayer. Prayer. And it's absolutely having an effect on your immune system. Lord. Furthermore, I'd hate to belong to this family. The lymphocytes, a type of white blood cell, contain receptors for many chemicals synthesized by the central nervous system. Prayer and the psychological effectors involved, including suggestion, expectation, anxiety reduction, conditioning, and hope, will live to make a positive placebo effect in nourishing the function of the immune system. So you get down to pray, and the devil said, what are you doing? I'm working on my electrolytes and on my lymphocytes and astrocytes and luminites and my immune system. I'm lowering my blood pressure. Working on my ability to reduce disease. I'm also refocusing on the radar screen. Let me find a place to land this spaceship if I can. Moreover, the relaxing, altered consciousness and spiritual effects of meditation and prayer and the resulting inward sense of peace can strengthen the immune system. And the body in general. According to Harold Coney, director of Center for Study of Religion and Spirituality in Duke University, when prayer uplifts or calms the spirit of people, fewer stress-induced, sometimes termed fight-or-flight hormones, are produced by the adrenal glands. So when you're praying, you're telling your adrenal glands, chill out. Calm down. Meditation and prayer can decrease stress-induced hormones, reduce pre-surgery anxiety, lower the risk of development of various serious diseases, help the immune system to function. In addition, many recent studies have shown that patients with serious diseases who are prayed for by others actually heal better and faster than those do who are not prayed for by others. Prayer for the healing of others is a form of alternative medicine known as divine healing. Oh, wait a minute, they call it distance healing. And prayer by others termed intercessory prayer, attitudes of prayerfulness and holiness and feelings of empathy, caring and compassion encourage healing. Some doctors feel that better recovery of the patients could occur if the doctors prayed with their patients prior to following operation. Now come on, saints. Now here is them. Oh my, hallelujah. Telling the doctors to pray. Because of the positive research on the effects of prayer and these beliefs about the value of prayer in the healing process, certain medical schools in the U.S. are offering classes in faith and medicine. About time they caught up. The church has been doing it for 2,000 years. Y'all don't need to come to go to ETSU. Come here to DCER, Donnie C. Reagan. Come to God University. Come on. The relationship between prayer and health has been the subject of scores and double-blind studies over the past 4 decades. Dr. Herbert Benson, a cardiovascular specialist at Harvard Medical School and pioneer in the field of mind-body medicine, discovered what he calls the relaxation process, which occurs during periods of prayer and meditation. At such times, the body's metabolism decreases, the heart rate slows, blood pressure goes down, and our breath becomes calmer and more regular. You're ODing on prayer. Oh. You imagine right before the change, God will give us a big dose of spiritual dopamine. Just, this is going on, and Putin's saying this, and whatever more is saying this, and all of a sudden, you'll see Mama standing behind you. She's been dead for 20 years or whatever more. You're combing your hair, brushing your teeth, and all of a sudden, a big release of dopamine, and you know it won't be long. You're going to be changed. You know it won't be long. Why? You're praying every day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Give me just a few more minutes and I'll close. This physiological state is correlated with slower brain waves, feelings of control, tranquil alertness, and peace of mind. This is significant because Benson estimates that over half of all doctor visits in the USA today are prompted by illness like depression and high blood pressure, ulcers and migraine headaches that are caused at least in part by elevated levels of stress and anxiety. Do you understand why we got such increased sickness, friends? Our bodies was not made to live under the stress of Laodicea. Some of y'all will spend all kinds of money on herbs. I'm not against that. All kinds of vitamins. My, the latest pyramid scheme in the message. Boy, this is the latest, greatest, super pack. This and that and the other. And you've had what you needed all along. Vitamin P. Prayer. Prayer. But it's so much easier. Pop a pill. That's what you all want when you come to church. You want a gospel pill. And you want me to put it down there and ram my fist down your throat. Take that pill. Now you got to pray. I don't want to pray. I pay you to pray for me. No, you don't. Let's stand and rest yourself. Let me finish this. In one National Institute of Health, Funded study individuals who prayed daily were shown to be 40% less likely to have high blood pressure. You mean to tell me daily prayer can reduce blood pressure by 40%? Brother Donnie, is there any side effects? Happiness, more alertness, slowed breathing. I mean, you act a little dopey sometimes. Your tongue, you know how people are when they get all doped up. They go, oh, you talk, and they're, well, this you might talk in foreign languages. Boy, I hate stuff. We're just a good place right now. Anyway, watch this. You imagine research at Dartmouth Medical Search. This is not Bible school, children. This is not Spurgeon. This is look at the medical schools. If they're breaking into this, we must be close. By the time the natural man goes to proving what God is doing, it's too late. Amen. Dartmouth Medical School found that patients with strong religious beliefs who underwent elective heart surgery were 3 times more likely to recover than those who were less religious. A 2011 study of inner city youth with asthma, researchers of University of Cincinnati, indicates that those who practice prayer and meditation experience fewer and less severe symptoms. So it's good for heart trouble, blood pressure, asthma, cardiovascular, immune system. Other studies show that prayer boosts the immune system and helps to lessen the severity and frequency of a wide range of illnesses. A recent survey report in the Journal of Gerontology of 4,000 senior citizens in Durham, North Carolina, found that people who prayed for meditating, listen to this, prayed or meditated, coped better with illness and lived longer than those who did not. But the question remains, by what physiological mechanism does prayer impact our health? Herbert Benson's most recent research suggests, listen to this, long-term daily spiritual practices help to deactivate genes that trigger inflammation and prompt cell deaths. So in other words, I keep thinking on the word, praying, I have the spiritual atmosphere and the death that's working in my mortal body when I ought to be getting older, and you know, all this stuff's going on, but yet those things that promote, I said, I don't want to die. I want to live on. I saw a man 7-8 months ago, not a Christian man, but he hears our services sometimes. He saw him at his business place. He said, wow, I haven't seen you in several years. He said, you haven't aged a bit. He had. I said, well, thank you. He said, I know what it is. It's that message you're preaching. Woo! Look at some of your family. Some of you that's got siblings that's 4, 5, 6 years younger than you are. Lived in the world and done everything in the world. Who looks the oldest? Many of the times, you know who it is. It's them. Why? Sin cracks a terrible price. Can you imagine? Oh, the mind can affect the expression of our genes. It's exciting evidence for how prayer may influence the functioning of the body at the most fundamental level. So the mind can affect the expression of our genes. So if I keep praying, what you there for, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. One day my mind and my soul will lead my body into that expression. From WebMD, prayer is more than just repetition and physiological responses, says Harold Koenig, associate professor of medicine, psychiatric at Duke University. Traditional religious beliefs had a variety of effects on personal health, says Koenig. Senior author of Handbook and Religion. New release of documents. There are 1,200 studies done on the effects of prayer. Praise God. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, righteous boy, a righteous girl availeth much. It's helping you, and you may not even feel it.
It's releasing in your body things to change your blood pressure, change your depression. Can't you see why Satan works on it? It gets people down, gets them depressed. You don't need to go to church. Don't you know what he's doing to you? He knows if you come to the house of God, you can get help. So to stay in home, lessen your depression. Does missing church make you better? It does not. You love him with all your heart? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, how simple these things are, yet so profound. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. Lord, we, especially as we get older, we start losing abilities to do certain things, and we start looking for this supplement and that supplement, and we know our food is so stripped down and so robbed of so many things that our fathers and grandfathers used to eat in their food. It's not there anymore. Not so much there's anything wrong with us taking those things. But yet, Lord, the greatest thing that we have, and I wonder how much we use it. Help us, Lord Jesus. Teach us the value of prayer. Help these astronauts to know coming to church is wonderful. Listen to tapes. They should do it. Reading their Bible. But yet the very prophet of God they say they believe said their radar unit is prayer. Prayer. It helps adjust our attitude. It helps with things in our life. We get mad at the preacher and we hear him say something. We don't pray about that and pray through. We may resent him. But if we pray, Lord, you help me. What he said was the truth. Help me, God. And prayer pulls us back on the radar screen. Adjust us to the left or the right, whatever more. Help us, dear God. We love you so much. Amen. How many loves him with all your heart? Do you appreciate him when he corrects us when we're wrong? Listen to this. In Israel, religious people had a 40% lower death rate from cardiovascular disease and cancer. Cancer. So you think of all the things that God's gave just by us being in prayer. Encourages us, uplifts us spiritually, plus all the health benefits, Brother Dale. Then you turn it around that a Christian who doesn't pray, who doesn't spend time with God, are they going to have a greater risk of blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, more tendency toward depression, more tendency to be less discouraged, you know, constantly needing encouragement of this and that and the other? Have you taken your vitamin P today? Amen. God bless you, saints. I love you with all my heart. If I didn't love you more than I love myself, I would preach sermons in this day that would be acceptable by everybody. I would preach sermons. I've been preaching long enough. I'm not a fool. I've been preaching long enough that I could learn how to preach psychologically if I wanted to. To preach things in such a way that most of you would never even know that I'm preaching against things that are wrong. Because I would term it in such a way it would never be offensive. But then before long, you'd find this in your life, and that in your life, and that in your life. And we wouldn't find Elohim among us. I know my ways are crude, and they might be rough and sharp, but I want to tell you the truth. And I want to preach the truth that will make us free. Free. One day when we stand there together, the prophet of God introduces us in this age, and we stand there. I want to look there and see y'all standing behind me or standing side by side, however it'll be that day. And we can rally together, praise God, and say thank God for the truth. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for telling us the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. How many wants these other ministers here to tell us the truth as well? Visiting ministers that come. Absolutely. God bless you, saints. Oh, how I appreciate his grace. Let's come back this weekend expecting the Lord to speak to us again about his word. I appreciate his love and his mercy, and I appreciate you. We're just believing him that he's going to help us and strengthen us. But Brother Donnie, I know if you pray, that's not what the Bible says. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, not just a preacher. Come, Sister Joe. Heavenly Father, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Let's sing it as we go. And it's all because we do not care. Amen.
Jesus knows surrender.